Good morning. I'm Alisa Z. Thanks so much for spending this Sunday morning here with us, listening to the Sunday edition. Every week, every month, every year, it's something, National Something Awareness Month. And I'm not even sure what it is in May. It might be Women's Health Month for all I know. But we have to talk about these things year-round, no matter what. Whether it's Women's Health Month, Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, Eye Injury Prevention Month, which I believe appropriately enough is in July. Right now, we're going to focus on us ladies here in the studio and all the women who are listening and their loved ones, because I'm joined by a wonderful young woman, Evita Singh, a doctor who is a diagnostic radiologist and director of breast imaging at Karmanos Cancer Institute. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. And I wanted to give you all of your props. You're a member of the breast cancer multidisciplinary team at Barbara Ann Karmanos Cancer Institute. How big is your team?
Consists mostly of all the radiologists who read breast imaging, okay. Breast surgeons, breast oncologists, and radiation oncologists, as well as plastic surgeons as needed, and anyone else, nutrition support, social work, but majority is surgery and breast radiology.
I often ask physicians when they're in here why they chose this particular specialty. So I'm going to ask you that one as well. Why?
Well, first, I'm a radiologist, which basically mm-hmm. is someone who specializes in imaging, image-guided procedures. And then to make the decision to go into the subspecialty of breast really had to do with a couple factors. Radiology is minority women. It's 25% or less are female. And so, but breast imaging is a huge part of radiology. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to be part of a woman's journey in that, do the procedures, make the diagnosis of breast cancer, figure out the benign lesions so we're not, unnecessarily treating things, mm-hmm. was very, very important to me. I knew that I liked all parts of the body, all parts of healthcare, but this was kind of some area that I really felt passionate about and able to do the best that I can with those patients for, somewhat of a short period of their overall health journey.
Yes.
Most people don't know they're radiologists. They don't know that all your imaging is interpreted by them and your procedure may be done by them. But, we are kind of behind the scenes.
Yes.
And that's okay, because I know in that interaction that it's, that I'm doing the best that I can and making a real difference.
You're right, though. We don't know our radiologists, do we? We go in for our tests and the very nice lady in the room calms us down, takes good care of us when we're going for mammograms, or as my children affectionately call them, smashograms, after my descriptions over the years. And then we wait and we hear from our doctors, but we need those radiologists in the interim to make sure that everything looks as it should, that you know what you're looking for. And like you said, so there's an accurate diagnosis so that we are getting the proper treatment if necessary, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'll take this moment to educate about radiologists.
Yes.
You're right. Every test that you get done, x-ray, CT, ultrasound, MRI, which is a lot of healthcare these days,
right,
is interpreted by a radiologist who makes that decision. And then it gets communicated in a report, phone call, whatever needs to be done, all kind of on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And most patients just have no idea that we're even involved in that. But it's a huge portion of healthcare right now.
It really is, and especially when you talk about x-rays, MRIs. Seems like every time I blink, someone is saying, oh, my dad's going in for an MRI. My mom needed an MRI. I have to go for an MRI. You injure yourself. You have a back problem. You have a neck problem. God forbid something with your brain. You need an MRI. We need you to take a look and tell us what's going on in there. Well, I'm glad I now know my radiologist, Dr. Evita Singh with Karmanos. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But yeah, we need to pause and recognize our radiologists, because I don't think most of us think about what you do. And that's a huge, huge piece. Now, when we're talking about women's health care, there are some routine screenings that most women should be getting, most women of a certain age at least should be getting. And yet, I think a lot of people tend to fall behind, and we're still just a toe out of the pandemic, and a lot of people let their screenings slide, myself included. Through the pandemic, it wasn't that I didn't go at all, but I didn't go as often as I should have. So now I'm playing catch up. I'll tell on myself. I messed up, and it's scary, and now I'm scared to go for my mammogram because, oh my goodness, it's been 2 years instead of one. Talk to people like me and everybody else, please.
Forgive yourself.
Thank you.
Forgive yourself. First thing, during the pandemic, we closed doors to everyone for screening. You know, when it was at its peak, we said we cannot do these patients. We did see patients for diagnostic complaints like, oh, you feel a lump, there's an active cancer.
Right.
But even surgeries were put on hold for patients with breast cancer. So we were all doing the best that we could. Now, thankfully, we're out of those woods. And even my own mom, you know, misses her mammogram every couple years. Oh, it's been 2 years, maybe. I look at her report, it's been 4 years. You know, when I first started in this career, I was like, this is way too long. You need to go in. You know, myself, you think about a year goes so fast. So it's very forgivable. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we do our best, at least on the imaging side of things, to send reminder letters to patients. So you get that reminder letter in the mail like, hey, you're due for your mammogram. That's us trying to take some of the burden off of women's plates where we already are full, right? So you see the letter, just make the appointment. You can reschedule later if it doesn't figure out into your appointment.
That's
you
a
know,
good point. I mean, I do that at the dentist
I do that
every
too.
6 months and
exactly.
I book my next appointment,
yep.
right?
I book stuff so that I know I can reschedule it because it's at least it's on the calendar. So even a year in advance, when you finish your screening and you go see your doctor, book your next one a year out, and if you can't make that Thursday, you'll schedule it the Thursday after. You know, you'll get it on the calendar. That seems to work the best for people. But, yeah, I just want to remind everyone, forgive yourself. We've got lots of sad patients out there who were unable to come in, got nervous, felt something. Okay, now it's been a year. It's been 2 years. Just do the best you can. Come in. Let us take care of you. You know, we'll work with what we have, and we'll just go forward, you know.
Let's talk about that fear factor. And that's something also I talk with every doctor who does various screenings. It's scary. Most of us know somebody who either has or had breast cancer. And you get to a certain age and you know more people and more have that diagnosis. Fear should not keep us away from our testing, should it?
Absolutely not. I mean, again, personal experience. I fortunately have never been diagnosed with a cancer. I am in my young 40s, and I remember my mammogram last year. I rallied some of the techs, and I said, who hasn't gotten their mammogram this year? And, you know, a couple of them are like, oh, I haven't done it yet. I'm like, let's all just do it right now, all of us. Like, open the doors, lunch break, let's get it done.
Brilliant.
And then, you know, then you're in your gown, and I thought to myself, like, oh, my God, my life could change today. Mm-hmm. I had that feeling, even though this is what I do. And for the first time, I felt that. Like, I have a child, a family. I felt that, like, emotional.
Yes.
About it. And my tech too was like, oh my God, like, what if today? Why are you making us do this, Dr. Singh, today? I wasn't prepared. And I'm like, it doesn't matter, right? If it's today or tomorrow, there's no preparation for this. You just have to get it done. And to take the fear away, if you're getting regularly screened, you know, we all hear kind of like the worst case scenario stories or what we remember, but for the most part, we find cancer very early.
Okay.
It's very treatable, it's survivable. And, you know, we talk about find a cure. Yes, it's not fully cured in the way that we think of curing a disease, but it's curable. I mean, if you're found early with the treatments we have now for breast cancer, surgically, oncology, radiation, whatever it may be, hormone therapy, many women live a normal lifespan, and the breast cancer is not the reason at the end that they, you know, that they pass. It's due to some other thing when they're 90, you know,
and
that's amazing. We've come so far. So I know it's overwhelming. It's a little bit scary, but we all feel it. Like I said, I do it and I felt it. So
yes.
I empathize. But you go in every year, most people, even if we find something, it's going to be very treatable.
Say it again.
Yeah, it's going to be very treatable even if you find something, you know. And I try to tell patients that when I do a biopsy and something's very small and I know it's going to be malignant, is that just to prepare you, if this comes back abnormal, just know this is going to be essentially curable. You know, one of my oncology friends said, I love being able to tell patients that I can cure you. Like, your cancer is early and small, and I can cure you. You know, and even if it comes back in 20 years, you know, we'll take care of it then. But you'll live your, it'll take 6 months. It might be challenging, obviously, for those 6 months, and no one's going to undermine that. It's not easy.
Right.
But, and I think about if someone told me, even my, knowing what I know, I would freak out, you know, but you'll do what you have to do, and you'll survive, and you've done the right thing. So that's all we can do.
Will you be my doctor and my everything and my guide in life? And it's so scary just even sitting in that little waiting room waiting to see if they got the right picture or if they need more. And sometimes they need another picture, not because they saw something, but maybe you moved or whatever. But the anxiety in just those few minutes even can be overwhelming. So to have someone like you saying, okay, you come regularly, or even if you don't, if we caught something, it means we caught something. and we can do our best to make it better so that you are coming back in the future for every test imaginable that you're supposed to get, all of your screenings. But yeah, it's really scary.
It is. I mean, you know, and we do our best with our technologists communicating well to patients. Okay. Like, I just need to take a different picture because, you know, exactly, you moved, or the doctor just wants me to spread some stuff out while you're here so you don't have to come back again. You know, little
yes.
things like that. But I get it. I mean, I do think about, like, if you're on the other end of this, like, what goes through your emotional
yes.
state? And it is overwhelming. But regardless of what brings you in for that appointment, and if you have a little cancer in the body somewhere, it's going to grow whether or not you come in, right? So
right.
all you can do is try to get it early. And unfortunately, you know, we don't know why. There's a million reasons why. But cancers are on the rise. We're all living longer. We're exposed to a lot more things. It is what it is. So it's almost like the nature of living that you might get one, but you got to do your best to find it early.
Okay.
And you know, we're going to do our best to try to treat it so that we continue to have the rest of the life that we're here for, you know.
Can you talk a little bit, please, about the genealogical component of cancer or breast cancer, or what you see at Karmanos? I look, in my family, I have an aunt who had breast cancer, and that's the only person that I know of in my lineage who had it. Am I more at risk, less at risk? This was a relative. It was my father's sister, but there's no other breast cancer in my family. I still need to go for my regular screenings, but am I considered at even a tiny elevated risk, or do I just go, and I know I have to talk to my doctor about all of this, but how do we frame all of that?
And that's an excellent point that you've brought up, and I'm really glad that you're talking about that because I really wanted to touch on that today. But one of the things that we're really moving forward in cancer treatment and detection in all areas, but especially breast, is that it's more than just your age, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not just, okay, I'm 40, it's time for me to get my mammogram. There's a lot more to it. There's risk.
Yes.
So, yes, by having an aunt, so we consider that a second-degree relative.
Okay.
Your mother or sister would be your first-degree relative, but now an aunt. There is going to be a slight increase in your risk as compared to, like, me, who has no known family history. Granted, someone may have it and they just didn't know, or they
right.
passed before the cancer was ever detected. You know, things are very different today than they were even in the 80s. So
yes.
it's sometimes family history is a little bit challenging. Maternal aunts, so your mother's sister, would increase that risk more than your father's sister. But there's going to be some number there. And there's lots of data and research and computational mathematics algorithms that they've created to help with these risk assessments. So
okay.
now, 2024, risk assessment is becoming relatively routine in assessment of breast patients. New recommendations from my society, which is the American College of Radiology, is that at age 25, you should be discussing with your, usually a GYN or your primary care doctor, your risk assessment for breast cancer.
Okay.
And that basically is based off of when you started your period, when and if you've had a child, how many children you've had, family history, mother, sister,
mm-hmm.
Maternal aunt, grandma, you know, all these people in your family, including men, males
mm-hmm.
do get breast cancer. And if they have a breast cancer in your family, that's actually a very strong risk factor.
Okay.
And then we put all that into a model and we get a 5-year and lifetime risk score. There's
okay.
several different models, but there's one that tends to be now considered the most accurate. And at Karmanos, if you come in for your mammogram, which again usually starts at age 40, so we're
right.
missing that 25 and
yes.
on, you will fill out that risk assessment at your visit or before your visit. You get a text, you get a phone, yeah, you get an email. You can fill it out before you come in. It all gets populated. We see it as the radiologists. We know your score.
Mm-hmm.
And then we apply your breast density, which is another long
okay.
conversation, but portion of risk.
Gotcha.
And then we give a number. And that number, which ranges from 0 to, I've never seen anything over 50, but
okay,
I mean
but
100
but,
technically,
right.
Will then guide us towards what you need as an individual for screening. Okay?
So interesting.
Complicated.
But
complicated, yes, but fascinating.
We're going to pause for just a moment. I want to talk more about this, and if we can also talk about how some young women with the BRCA gene have made some drastic decisions under the guidance of their doctors. We have so much more to talk about. Will you stay, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Again, I'm with Dr. Evita Singh with the Karmanos Cancer Institute. I said it right. I'm so proud. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here with me. I really appreciate it. And thank you all very much for spending your Sunday morning here with us. Once again, I'm Elisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition. Good morning. Thanks so much for spending this Sunday morning here with us, listening to the Sunday Edition. I'm Elisa Z. I'm still joined this morning by Dr. Avita Singh with Karmanos Cancer Institute. And this is Women's Health Month. And, I mean, I think there are enough women that we should make every month Women's Health Month because we need to take care of ourselves. One way women can help take care of their health, their physical health, and therefore some of their emotional and mental well-being as well, is by getting regular mammograms. Dr. Singh, when should we start getting these?
So basically the years to get, you know, when we talk about getting mammograms, we're going to talk about a couple of things. First is age. So average woman, average risk, you know, 40 is when we recommend getting them, mm-hmm. and every year after 40. So I know there's a little controversy that's out there. We're kind of swinging back towards, thankfully, just telling women 40 every year.
Okay.
But now we have a couple other things to think about with risk factors. So if you have family history of breast cancer, your mother had breast cancer at 45, maybe you need to get a mammogram at 30 or 35. It's best that you talk to your OBGYN, mm-hmm. your family practitioner, your internal medicine doctor, or even your breast radiologist at your mammogram and say, can I have a conversation about this? We're okay. happy to do that. I do that with patients all the time.
Oh, and about, I think that occurs to people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, you can, you know, if you go to many of the places in this area, especially Karmanos, you'll have a conversation with someone if you request it without
okay.
issue. And so if that risk factor is greater than average, mm-hmm. You know, 15-20%, we're not yet at that high risk score is right. where it gets murky. So you've got your mammogram for sure. Maybe start at age 35, maybe start at age 30, depending
okay.
on your family history. But then do you add in other supplemental screening with ultrasound, with MRI, if you have dense breasts? These conversations are more challenging, and we're working as doctors and societies to really come up with very clear guidelines.
Okay.
But that middle moderate risk area is a little bit challenging still. But if you have strong factors, and that may be family history, that may be other things,
mm-hmm.
then you have your lifetime risk over 20%, which is what we will calculate when you come in for your mammogram,
right.
Or your doctor can do, you know, if you're at your OBGYN office and request it, or you can actually go online now and do these tools yourself at your computer.
Wow, of course you can.
Yeah, you can. I did myself just to, you know, to see where I was at before I had my mammogram. And if you have that greater than 20% lifetime risk, we do recommend breast MRI in addition to a mammogram every year.
Okay.
It's different ways of doing that, but basically that is the most sensitive test we have at this time point to
right.
detect breast cancer. It finds the most cancers that are out there. And so if you're high risk, your chances are higher than the average person to have a breast cancer. It's the best way to find it early.
Okay.
Mammograms are still extremely important. They find different types of cancers that we might
mm-hmm.
not see on a breast MRI. And they also find most breast cancers, so we don't want to pull out of that very important, very
right.
easy test compared to an MRI.
Now, a mammogram is traditionally covered by insurance. If an MRI is required as a follow-up, how are we doing in getting that covered? And I guess I'm thinking specifically about Medicare and Medicaid patients. Have you found that they've been able to get those MRIs covered?
Yeah, so this is always challenging. You're correct. Mammograms tend to be covered. MRI, at least historically, I can say that most of the time, if you did have that high risk and you were
mm-hmm.
shown by models and whatnot to be over 20%, that most patients did not have a major issue getting insurance coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard that more recently this is starting to swing, unfortunately, in the other direction. Maybe because we're finding so many more women who are high risk,
right.
and so those numbers are going up. And I think it's going to take time with legislation.
Okay.
In general, the federal government has done a lot of work in the last just year with breast legislation, specifically in regards to density,
yes.
but also moving now towards, great, you've told patients they have dense breasts, or we're telling them that they're high risk, but you're not going to cover what needs to be done.
Right.
So that's kind of the next step
okay.
as to where we can go. I will say that, you know, again, for patients out there, there are cash pay options at many places around the country and around the state. So if you're someone who needs this, you know, just reach out to your doctor and see what options you have.
Whatever you do, don't let that be a reason to not get checked. Because if, God forbid, you have a diagnosis that needs treatment, you want that as early as humanly possible, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Let's talk about, we were talking for a moment without the microphones on, about people who come from hearty stock, as we say, there is, in my immediate family, thank God, no cancer. Am I at less risk because of that? It wouldn't keep me from getting my mammogram, but it's easy, I think, to become complacent when we see, well, my parents are fine, they don't have any diseases, they're okay, so I must be okay too. Can you dispel that notion, please? Because I know I'm not the only one.
My mom is also one of those people, so you are not the only one. You know, we don't have family history, thankfully, but getting her to get her mammogram every year is a little bit of discussion because of that. And 75% at least of the breast cancers that we know are not family history related. So that is a huge number. You can look at the other way and say, you know, only 25% or less are related to family history. And then the genetics, most of these we don't know that there's an associated gene with. So you luckily probably have less of a risk than someone who has strong family history. But again, there are other factors like when you had your menstrual cycle, how many children you've had, when you had those children that do change your risk, and then your breast density, which we can only determine by based off your mammogram.
Does breastfeeding lessen your risk, reduce your risk?
There is some slight reduction in breast cancer risk related to breastfeeding, but it's not well known exactly. It's not a reason to force or not force a woman to pursue lactation.
Right.
Yeah.
I had heard that over the years, and I thought, oh, well, I'm in great shape. I've had a bunch of kids, and so no sweat there. But I never knew if it was a valid point or not. It didn't affect my decisions, but it made me curious about that.
Yeah. There's a couple like soft factors like that.
Okay.
That are out there, but they really don't go into the risk score as being significant factors towards your risk.
I have a couple more questions, and I want to make sure that before we say goodbye for the day, we don't forget to talk about Pink Out the Park on June 8th at Comerica Park. But are there things we can do to hedge our bets more toward the positive, other than screening, of course, I should say, in addition to screening, are there lifestyle changes we can make? Are there other things? I know we talked about people with the BRCA gene, for example. Many have undergone drastic surgery, and that has worked for some, but as you said, there are other options for those people now as well. Are there predictors? Are there symptoms? Are there things we should be looking for or things we can do to help prevent?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, there's kind of what we call modifiable risk factors, like things we can somewhat control or control completely, and those that we can't, like our family history and our genetics. Obviously, environmental things that are kind of out there we're all exposed to. With breast cancer specifically, mm-hmm. we do know that two things, and especially now that we've seen these risk models on every patient coming into mm-hmm. to the department, I've noticed these trends.
Okay.
Weight is one thing, mm-hmm. active lifestyle. So even if you can just walk your 20 to 30 minutes a day, reduce your weight by 10 to 15% if your BMI is on the higher side. Mm-hmm. Again, you can talk to your doctor about your BMI and where you stand on that chart. That actually does have a significant impact on that risk score. In addition, alcohol use is mm-hmm. a soft risk factor, but has shown an increase in breast cancer.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you can't enjoy your glass of wine here and there, or a drink, you know, on the weekends. But really trying to keep that number less than 3 to 4 drinks per week, less than 5 drinks per week for sure, is helpful in reducing that risk score. So these, I think, are very simple. I mean, weight loss is not easy for anyone, for sure. But just kind of keeping it in the back of your mind that if you can make any small changes to kind of shift that scale, to say, that would be helpful.
Is there an age component? Like, is there... once you're 70, you don't have to worry about breast cancer anymore? Or is that just, we just always have to continue to be diligent?
We do always have to continue to be diligent, but from a risk score perspective, mm-hmm. it does start to go down as you get older, past 70, only because you've kind of outlived, you haven't gotten the cancer yet, right? So you've kind of outlived your risk. So we've noticed that in the models, like if a patient puts it in who's in their 80s, their risk is almost zero because they've already kind of had 80 years without a cancer. But yes, we don't have any age cutoff that we recommend at this point. If you are healthy, you're able to live a normal life, and you have other health conditions that are not causing you any sort of issue, we see patients in their late 80s and 90s who get their routine mammogram. And, you know, if you're diagnosed with a cancer at that age, we don't want to ignore it just because it can become very uncomfortable. So
of course,
the treatment may be minimal, but we want to just make sure you have the best quality of your life.
So I'll tell my mother to just keep doing exactly what she has been doing. She's very good about her screenings.
Yeah.
We have about 5 minutes left. I want to tell people, well, of course, we're rooting for our Tigers throughout the entire season, but there's one night in particular we want to see everybody come out in their pink to Comerica Park on June 8th. Talk to me about Pink Out the Park. It's such an amazing event.
Yeah, I went last year for the first time, and it was really a lot of fun. It is so cool to see the whole stadium just light up in pink. I took my daughter with me, who that's her favorite color.
Of course, it was
like the best night of her life. And then actually a friend of ours was a survivor who was able to walk the fields. That was really moving to see that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great event. I guess they're playing the Brewers, if I'm correct on that day. So it's just a good time to go out there. It's beautiful weather. Take the kids. It's just a fun thing to see that there's such a community, not just about the Tigers, which, like you said, we always support, but a community to support women and patients who have been diagnosed and survived this disease. So if you're not, you know, if you're able to make it, there are tickets available for sale. And if you're not able to make it, there's always donation options available as well. But it's definitely a great thing. I believe the first 15,000 guests will get a jersey. And I saw people, I wasn't the first 15,000 last year, but I saw people wearing their swag, and it was pretty nice looking. So
I have, from 1 year, I can't remember if it was last year or not, but I have a pink Tigers, Detroit Tigers button down that I got that night.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, this is, like you said, this is the community we're supporting, community of women. Nobody, I think everybody, knows the name Karmanos. They may not know how to pronounce it, but we all do now, Karmanos Cancer Institute. And this is, I mean, it's a Detroit Tigers game, but it's sort of a Karmanos event, isn't it?
Yes. It is sponsored, and it's something that they go through every year and try to get all as many survivors on the field to not just, you know, to recognize what they've been through and what they've done. And then also to remind everyone that, you know, to kind of not be so scared in that sense, right?
Yes.
Like this is a survivable situation at this point. These are people who have been through it. You're not alone. You know, Karmanos is here to support you. And it's a really nice thing that they do. So.
And we're putting in a request right now for beautiful weather.
Yes.
Again, we always put in the request for a Tigers win, but we're putting in also for beautiful weather, lots of pink on June 8th at Comerica Park, Karmanos Cancer Institute, Pink Out the Park. In the couple of minutes we have left, what have we missed? What do you want to say again? It's your world, Evita.
I guess it's just, you know, it's just pretty simple. Get your screening mammogram at least at age 40. Think about your risk factors. Talk to your doctor if you're over the age of 25. Just about what to do now. It seems overwhelming, 25 years old. But you know, I think 25-year-olds are actually pretty informed these days. Social media is out there. They have lots of information.
You're right.
And then, you know, when you have that risk in front of you, just know that there are people who can help guide those decisions. Reach out to them. Your GYN, your family practitioner, your internal medicine doctor, your primary care, your radiologist, who is a doctor who's in the back of the scenes, but who is available if you have issues or anything you want to discuss.
Now that you mention it, I do think my 20 and 30-somethings, my kids, are much better than I was at their age about getting to the doctor, getting their regular checkups. Because there is a time frame once you move out of mom's house and she's not responsible for taking you to the pediatrician or you're not going to the university health service or something, and where I think a lot of young people may kind of fall off. But, yeah, I'm really proud of my kids. Thank you for the reminder.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Give them a call.
Sure that I'm going to call them all. It'll take me 20 minutes. I'll be with you shortly. But, yeah, it's important to take ownership of your health. And if you start when you're 25 years old as a young adult, you have a much greater likelihood of running around with my 93-year-old mother than otherwise. Is there a website you'd like people to visit for Karmanos? Do we just go to karmanos.org or...
Yeah, you can, if you want to schedule an appointment, you can always call 1-800-KARMANOS.
Okay.
Just spell the word out on your phone. And then also you can go to karmanos.org/breast health to schedule an appointment for any mammogram or breast services.
I'm going to spell Karmanos, K-A-R-M-A-N-O-S. Dr. Evita Singh, radiologist at large. Da, 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 super radiologist. You've taught me a lot today, and I want to say thank you to every radiologist who's ever read anything of mine, my family, or anybody, and thank you for doing what you do. I'm so grateful.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
My pleasure, and thank you all for spending this Sunday morning here with us once again. I'm Elisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.